All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And I'm joined on the programme now by Declan Hanrahan, who's IFA Livestock Chair. Hopefully you can hear me okay. Your signal's not fantastic there, Declan, but we shall get through it. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing good. Right, so factories are trying to lower beef prices. Now, I would just speak to farmers anecdotally, and they've been delighted with the prices that they're getting for their cattle lately. Is that just a local thing here in the Northwest, or were things in good shape but we're seeing a turning of the tide now?
Yes, from late last year, right throughout the whole spring up to the last 10 days, really, the last week, the market has been performing very strongly. The UK market performing extremely well, and across Europe also. What has driven the market so strong is the lack of supply within our main markets, both in the UK and across Europe. We've seen a decline in the cattle herds in the last number of years, both in Ireland and across the UK and across Europe, mainly due from green policies and direction from Europe previously. And with the impact, the way that's devised. So we have seen a reduction in numbers, which has added to the market. And as well as that, from the other side of the world, that the Chinese were buying a lot of beef from Brazil, and the Australians putting it into America, a reduction in their numbers also, which was to our advantage, because a lot more of that beef then wasn't coming into Europe. So it has been, from late last year the whole way through up to this week, the prices have been strong, but market driven.
Seeing as well is a prediction that stocks will fall even further, which again you would imagine drives up prices. But the factories have different ideas. So what is happening? And farmers are price takers really to a great extent, aren't they? What are the factories doing at the moment then that's of concern?
Well, the factories are trying to take a bit more control of the price. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take a bit more control of the market and downplay it. It's unacceptable and it's unjustified, because the demand, as I've said, in our key markets is extremely strong. The UK in particular, 50% of our beef going in there. In the past week, the price has risen there by 7 pence a kilo. It has gone up the equivalent of 18 cents a kilo since the beginning of April. They're on, for their R4Ls and R3s, they're on from 860, 65 to 870 and above it, with the Scottish prices above that also. So, and supplies tight. So the factories are just trying to get a hold on it. They know that numbers are going to be scarce going into May and all, or be it predicting this year 87,000 less cattle for processing in the system.
Well, Declan, does that not mean then that the farmers hold the cards here? Because obviously there's a high quality product. This product is in great demand, as you've been outlining there. It's a product that's there's less availability of. So, you know, I mean, factories can and try and potentially, I suppose, increase their profits here, but the farmers hold the cards here. So is the IFA trying to organise farmers to resist because they are the ones with the product?
That's what we have. And in the last week, you would have seen from our press release that we have said to farmers not to accept the lower quotes. There's actually more in the system, as we have pointed out to farmers where the market is. And that if smaller players, if smaller farmers are not getting the returns from the factory, they have the mart to go to, which has been given a very strong price throughout factory feed cattle all spring, because you have a number of players there. You have wholesalers, you have northern buyers, and that's putting pressure on the factory agents in which to give more per kilo equivalent of dead weight. So that's what we're telling farmers. We're telling them that this is unjustified. Factories are just trying to play down at the moment, get more control over, because they know what's the system. We have seen the slaughter of big numbers, that cattle go to the numbers being strong the whole spring. So they're just trying to get more control of the market, because they know the numbers are not there and that prices are going to be strong throughout 25.
Yeah, and there are options there. I mean, they're chancing their arm, potentially, you could say. Why, you know, I know you mentioned, and hopefully the line holds out, but we've covered the main issue, but I'm just curious, why are we seeing a reduction in beef and dairy herds? And I know we could say, well, it's the green agenda, but what is happening? Are people exiting? Are they being paid to exit? Are they diversifying into forestry or solar? Or why are we seeing this steady decrease in dairy and beef numbers?
Well, there's a number of issues that is playing into the reduction in the herd, but the green agenda that has been driven, and it's that has been driven to reduce stock numbers. We're looking for our nitrates derogation, which is vitally important for dairy farmers to be. We're looking for that to be carried through. We'll know again 26 what way. So all those measures, as well as that from the dry stock side, we have seen that our cap budget, which has not increased in with inflation or anything like that, and the cap budget was born, and the majority of it was earned by beef farmers and tillage farmers in this country who brought that money into the system, and that money then has been diluted out from the main players who built up the payments on the livestock side and all. So it has been policy as well. And then, look, like everywhere across Europe, we've seen the age profile of farmers, a readjustment of farmers, what they're capable of doing physically and mentally as they get older in the system. And we see a readjustment of the younger farmers coming through as well, better opportunities outside the farm gate. But it's how important agriculture is to Ireland. We're an outlier really in Europe, and how important livestock production. Like, we're the sixth largest exporter of beef in the world for such a small country, and we're the largest in Europe. So agriculture is vitally important to Ireland compared to some other European
countries. It's really quite fascinating that we're seeing the farming industry contract in this country. And we've heard that, there's no plan actually to halve our outputs, not just in the farming industry, I mean across the board in Ireland by 2030. There's no plan to eliminate it in 2050. But all the focus is on farmers, and we're seeing the impact of that. Yet it's generally accepted now we're not going to meet 2030 targets because of roads and cars and aeroplanes and every other bloody thing. 2050 is a pipe dream. There's no plan. There's no plan at all. We have no plan. We don't even have a place to store gas, right? Yet we're seeing an industry here making all the moves, or being forced to make all the moves, or being impacted, whilst we fill the country with data centres and have no plan about alternative energy or anything else. It's almost like the low-hanging fruit, some might feel.
You're completely correct. It's easy picking, and there has been a narrative got out there the whole time, that agriculture is responsible for 37 to 40% of Ireland's emissions. But we have pointed out at the whole time that we need a correct calculation of where we stand. From our starting point in 2018, we're of the firm belief there's scientists out there have different takes on methane production and the life cycle of it and everything like that. And we say we need a correct calculation to start off with. But yes, agriculture is being used as a scapegoat in a lot of instances because we are an easy target. But we're such a dependent. What makes us per capita seem higher than other countries is because we're such a country that's so dependent and has such a strong agricultural base. And
Find ourselves, and wait till you see, go and check it out. I'm normally not far out in things like this. In this country, it'll be seen like, oh my word, we're seeing a huge reduction in beef and dairy and farming in general. But outside the country, it'll be like, we're making really strong inroads in terms of reducing emissions from the farming industry. And that's the way it works. People speak out of two sides of the mouth. In this country, it's terrible. Nitrates, derogations, this, that and that. But in Brussels, we're making great strides. Do you know that sort of way? Anyway, listen, thanks for that, Declan. Take care of yourself. Declan Hanrahan, IFA Livestock Chair. My newspapers are being stolen. And they're being dropped all over the floor, and a lot of noise is being made because Shannon is heading to Derry. To join John Breslin. And we're inviting you to join John Breslin on Around the Northwest from 12 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. He's live from Dreams and Sofa Time in the Crescent Link Shopping Centre, Derry, for the launch of their new store. So get along, by the way, if you're in the Derry area. Call in to Dreams and Sofa Time in the Crescent Link Shopping Centre. We'll hear all about their golden ticket giveaway and their exclusive sleep match machine. Right, that's all on Around the Northwest. So it's going to be the usual great music from John, great chat. And also we'll learn a bit more about Dreams and Sofa Time in the Crescent Link Shopping Centre. And as I say, if you're in Derry, or in fact maybe just called into Derry to do a bit of shopping, whatever it is, call in and see the team at the Crescent Link Shopping Centre. And you'll learn more about the golden ticket giveaway and their exclusive sleep match machine, no less. How can foreign cars be deemed safe for the road without an NCT? I don't know. I really don't know. But anyway, here's the rules as it stands. Donna Marie, can you get clarification on the NCT element of cars? So I'm going to use Ukrainians, Ukrainian people who are probably the most likely to have moved here temporarily or otherwise and taken their car with them. So just to be absolutely clear in relation to this, you can drive here on a Ukrainian driving license, obviously. Although not necessarily, obviously, because it's not a European country. But anyway, you used to be able to actually exchange your Ukrainian license for an Irish driving license. You can't do that anymore. So you can bring your car to the Ukraine or people who already had. You can apply for a vehicle temporary exemption when you arrive. So this means you do not have to pay vehicle tax. So you can contact Revenue for more information. Now, I presume those arriving or those who have been here have been informed by those handling them to apply for this vehicle temporary exemption. So you can drive your Ukrainian registered vehicle in Ireland without road tax. You might need to get it, or you can apply for an exemption. In terms of car insurance, you must your car must be insured to drive on Irish roads. So I'm not sure if that's local insurance. I'm assuming it's local insurance, or your Ukrainian insurance will cover you. In terms of motor tax, as I mentioned, vehicles in Ireland that are used in a public space or in a public road are liable for motor tax, but Ukrainians can apply for an exemption from motor tax where a vehicle is temporarily brought into Ireland. This is known as the vehicle temporary exemption. That's open-ended, so it's not 3 months or 6 months. That's open-ended. And I'll try and get some clarification as it relates to the NCT. And well, that's just the one gap in the information I have. So there you go. The car must be insured. It must be insured. You can get an exemption for road tax, and you can also get an exemption to drive it around on the plates of its licensed country. A caller says nobody's bothered with farming anymore. There's too much paperwork and not enough profit. I told my children to avoid it, which is effectively what our guest was just saying. That's part of what is happening here. A special thank you to whoever found my driving license and other small items in Bella Buffet yesterday. It was very much appreciated from a Highland listener. You know who you are. Thank you. To the person with bats in their attic, make sure you check the water tank for dead bats because bad smell in hot water taps. And some people might even drink out of the bathroom tap. There could be a dead bat in there, and I think they're pretty dirty animals. That lady made me smile. Cancer is tough, but she's chatting about her everyday problems. This is Aisling, of course, and Dolores and Katrina and Fiona all agree and praise Aisling for what she had to say. And Katrina also points out, Greg, she won't let you away. Never promise a Falcara woman and not deliver. Of course not. And I've told Aisling, of course, sunny jive. I'm not precious. It's a bit of crack. And no better woman than Aisling. The two of us will be dancing around the place with hats on or no hats on. Sadly, people eventually become desensitized to the horrors of Gaza, the same as other countries, even famine that we constantly hear about. The human brains can only cope with so much bad news and it shuts down. Yeah, there is an element to that. I think I kind of referenced that myself too. Dear Greg and the 9 till noon team, thank you for guiding, directing and enlightening the people who contact your show to speak about their journeys in life. The listening ear you give everyone is so professional and caring. It's to be totally admired. Bless you all and the amount of work you do for Donegal and far beyond. Blessings, Kate. Thanks, Kate, for that. I appreciate it. It's part of, I mean, it's, I say it at the top of the show. It's what we do. We cover, obviously, important issues and news events, but we also like our chat with Zakstad. It's important also to give community issues a platform, which we do every day. Noel said, I had bats in my attic a few years ago. They are the lesser hotshot variety and absolutely harmless. They are a protected species and will go away come autumn. Noel, I appreciate your where you're coming from, but the noise of them and going up into your attic. Can you imagine if you go up into the attic? Okay, check your water tank, another person says. Hi, Greg. The cancer campaigners are up against Fianna Fáil Fine Gael, who've been governing for nearly 100 years and have controlled the purse strings since then. It is they who've starved Donegal, not only of much-needed medical facilities and procedures, but much-needed infrastructure and capital projects, but should keep on electing them. It's us who needs our head examined. The situation in this country is so complicated. One politician, or I don't even think a party, can make a change. You know, I mean, the HSE is law unto itself. We've seen that time and time again. I'm not giving politicians a pass on this, don't get me wrong, but who runs the country? Who runs the country? Is it the elected government? Is it the permanent government? Right, okay. You don't have to get your car tested. Donna Marie. I just wanted to double check that because it comes up from time and time again and I read the comments and I have a responsibility to get the accurate information out there as well. So, do I need to get my Ukrainian vehicle NCT'd? If your car has Ukrainian number plates, it's immune from fault or danger because you don't have to get it tested. It only becomes subject to testing when it's registered in Ireland. However, by law, you must always keep your vehicle in a safe and roadworthy condition when used on Irish roads. So you don't have to get an NCT. Simple as that. So no tax, no NCT. And just car insurance. And after that, as long as you've got Ukrainian plates, you can batter on. So there you go. Let me see, what was that? Right, okay, no, that's irrelevant to that topic. And on the show now, it's Derek. Hi, Derek.
Hello, how are you getting on?
I'm doing good. Greg. Now, you, we've talked about Letterkenny traffic concerns. You think there's an over-focus on providing or locating things in Letterkenny?
Absolutely, sure. Every company that you seem to be know at the head to Letterkenny, and the small towns is all forgot about. All the small towns around either side of Letterkenny, Mulford, Lufford, Castlefin, Convoy, Raphoe, all them small towns is all forgot about. And the traffic, and as I heard on the radio this morning there, somebody had said there, it's a one-way road in and one-way out of Letterkenny, and the traffic, the roads can't handle the traffic in there, and they do need that bridge over Bunnygee there, and they need it tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it ain't coming tomorrow, Derek, I can tell you that.
It ain't coming tomorrow, no. But
you see, I suppose you can't, you can try and incentivise businesses out of Letterkenny, and I'm sure the people of Letterkenny want as much business as they can, but I presume they locate there because that's where people live and they want to travel to and where workforces are and, you know.
But the infrastructure's not there to handle it.
That's the problem, isn't it? Yeah, that is the...
That's just Devon. And, you know, in the small towns, they need something as well. No, the small towns is all forgot about, where they could have factories and things. And, you know, rather than everybody travelling to Letterkenny, they could travel to Raphoe or Lufford or Castlefin or Kilmacrenan or something. You know, the amount of traffic that's coming through Kilmacrenan, the factories could be located on that side. Even you said there this morning there about Manchester, somebody been, some professor said about the... Letterkenny road structure.
Yeah,
well, that's down to bad planning. Everything's built in Letterkenny, and there's one way road in and one out, and that Polestar roundabout cannot handle it. And the people and the way they built that road is a disaster because they have that big barge of concrete up, that's the only word I could think on, is up the centre of it, and sure, ambulances are nothing. The planning has just gone to the dogs altogether, as far as I would think anyway now. But all the small towns is all forgot about.
Yeah, I know we're seeing towns dying all over the place. I'm not going to mention any because I don't want to be offended, but I'll tell you, actually, I can say this. You drive to Galway, and you drive through, and it's not just a Donegal thing either, but there are towns in Donegal the same that you know, the places where businesses used to be, where people used to drink, or where postal offices, they're gone, boarded up. Like, there's a few towns and villages in Donegal and further afield. Now, you drive through, there's nothing. They're not, the petrol station's gone, everything's gone.
And they've gone to the bigger towns and things, and the local pubs, there's virtually no pubs left in towns, and the post offices is gone, and you could talk about it all day about it. It's just so many things has gone out of the small towns, and if you want something, you have to go to Letigenny, and it's a nightmare to get into Letigenny. I hate to go to Letigenny to spend time in the traffic, and you go nowhere.
All right, and also too, it's harder to, firstly, you can't build on the N56 at the moment really effectively, and also it can be very hard to get planning permission even on your own land in your own area, which is really quite bizarre.
That's right.
So we are being centralised. Now, I want to say, in fairness to the Letterkenny Chamber and the businesses in Letterkenny, if I have business to do in Letterkenny, I can get it done. I mean, there are times where there's massive pinch points, I get that, but, you know, Letterkenny's still an attractive place to go in and shop, and I do so myself on a regular occasion, but I do understand also where you're coming from.
Not on the town, Greg. Not on the town.
I don't know. I take where you're coming from. I do take where you're coming from.
You can't park in the town. That's why you have them big stores, Lidl's and Dunn Stores and all them ones. They're built out on the edge of the town where you can go in and park. And they're not pushed by a traffic warden. If you park 2 minutes outside the post office, they're walking up and down the street.
Again, there is half an hour free parking, but in the one day, and I will say, I generally do get lucky. But I take your point, Derek. I'm not disagreeing with you. Thank you so very much for joining us. I do appreciate it, Derek. 10 years ago, says the listener, Letterkenny was voted the town with the worst planning in Ireland. This is why traffic is bad and it's so hard to get around. I'm just listening to you chatting about teaching religion in schools. I'm 70 years old, and when I was at school, the teaching of our religion was completely different to now. I mean, the message will never change. It's just the messengers have gone badly astray. Just listening to radio and media this last couple of days, highlights for me, farmers not able to farm, fishermen not able to fish, sick people not able to get hospital care, teachers not wanting to teach religion in schools, parents afraid to vax their kids, people afraid to walk their streets after dark, young people not able to get a house, other people fearing they may have to move from their homes, politicians not wanting to put the people needs ahead of their obligations. Modern Ireland, quite depressing. Quite an interesting little rogues gallery of issues that you've created. Hi, Greg. My friend asked me to look for cheaper car insurance online. They used a method explained by TV's money-saving expert Martin Lewis, and I saved him a massive €700 sterling. It went from £900 to £200 plus. I got £30 cash back for myself into the bargain. That comes in from Paul in Downpatrick, County Down. Thank you for that, Paul. Hi, Greg. Just curious to know if that church was insured, and if so, why the need to GoFundMe? Well, I can't presume. We'll try and find out if it was insured or not. Insurance is there to might not meet all the needs of it, and people wish to give. We'll check it out. But just because something might be insured, it doesn't mean it can be finished to the standard that the community might want. For an example, does the insurance cover an organ? Does it cover the altar? I don't know. Does it cover marble? Does it just cover the structure of it? This money will all end up in the community in any case. And people want to do their bit. So the fundraising and the insurance, I think they can coalesce. We'll find out, though, what the story is. Greg, saw in my travels in the weekend large signs stating average speeding distance. Wondering, should these speeding signs be erected on Manor Newton Road? And if so, should those who have been caught speeding on that section of road be refunded? Now, we don't have average speed in. There is going to be average speed cameras installed in Donegal. I don't think they're in yet. You're talking about the speed camera, I think, which just gets you in that moment. Your average speed cameras will sort of, there'll be one camera in one point, another camera 2 miles away, and it will judge how long it should take you to get from point A to point B. And if you're above the speed limit, you're done. There are those cameras being installed in this county. They've been earmarked, I think, for the dual carriage? I can't remember off the top of my head. But I think you're talking about the solo camera, which is not an average speed. Now, unless there's been progress made that I've missed, I'm sorry. I pay my landline monthly in the post office. I received the bill yesterday. I've been charged a direct debit fee as I don't have a direct debit. I'm 83. Are they allowed to charge people for not using direct debits? Well, you see, they've got us by the ghoulies, really, in relation to this. Is because what the way they frame it is they frame it as you're incentivized to set up a direct debit and not have the fee. So it's not like a punishment for not having a direct debit. The way they frame it, it's like a reward for having a direct debit. So yes, they are allowed to charge you. It's part of the contract you sign up to. And you know, when you sort of go, yeah, I'll go ahead with your service, you do, you are signing up to a contract. And I do understand too, lots of people still like to go in and pay their bills in the post office. Be it car tax. I know it's not in the post office, but or electricity or phone or what have you. I heard on the news about a shortage of young farmers. Well, I work full-time and farm on the side with my dad. I went to apply to do a Chagas Green Cert course part-time, but they only do weekdays. I asked if they can do a weekend course or even night courses. This would suit better, but they don't offer any courses like that. Maybe if they made more accessible courses for the part-time farmer, there could be an increase of young people taking up the family farm. Fascinating point. Really interesting. I remember about 10 years ago, the crib at Christmas time wasn't going to be placed at LUH as it would upset the Muslim community and other non-Christian staff. Thank God that idea wasn't introduced. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Let me check that story. I think there was a bit more to that story than that. I think that was the argument was made, but something in the back of my head tells me that there was a miscommunication. I'll double check that as I commit to do everything that I'm not sure about. I'm not saying you're wrong. I hope you understand when I do say that I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm really conscious of all of you messaging in, and I'm going to get to as many of them as I can as this morning wears on. But for now, I must take this break. Now, as you would know, we've covered it extensively this week. The church in Derrybeg was destroyed in a fire, and it's hit the local community extremely personally, of course, because for many, the church is the focal point of the community celebration, death, everything is sort of often housed in your local place of worship. But it's also a story that has affected people from outside the area. And there's been an outpouring of generosity as well, because the local community are determined to rebuild, led by Father Breen, as you can imagine. And everyone wants to do their bit, not least our very own, the county's own, Daniel O'Donnell. Daniel, you, like all of us, I presume, you know, when you heard this news, we're incredibly shocked and saddened. It hits really personally, doesn't it?
Oh, I was. Hello, Greg. I was certainly shocked. Couldn't believe it, you know. And seeing the pictures. I mean, I know the chapel very well. I've been in it many times. I mean, the first person that came to mind was Mayarua. I can remember Mayarua walking up the chapel the day that Mary Teresa got married. It's, you know, that vision came in, you know. And I was thinking, just as you were saying there, about how it's so much part of people's lives. All of these events, baptisms, confirmations, you know, weddings, and when it comes to funerals and letting people go, you know, that's the memories that a chapel has for the community. And I'm sure the people of Gedor are just, you know, they're obviously we're grateful that nobody was hurt or nobody was injured, but I'm sure they're broken hearted to see their chapel as it is now. And I mean, it would be, if it was our case, I would be just devastated if it was our chapel. So I'm very grateful to the people who are putting on the concert on Saturday night. I mean, I know it's a very sudden thing and very quick and no advertising or no nothing, but we just hope that people will come out and support the event, you know. And
I think, Daniel, if I don't mind, it is also an area of hope, because even in as the church, the fire wasn't even fully extinguished. Father Breen and those who we spoke to, we're already talking about sort of the green shoots of hope, if you know what I mean, that this is an opportunity to rebuild, that this will be an important moment in the history of the church, but only a moment, because it will return better than ever it was before. So even a concert like this is part of that hope, that rebuild. I hope I'm not misframing it, but that's how I might see it, Daniel.
Yeah, and I think too, I suppose it's an opportunity for the, as they say, chef football, for the football to come together, the public to come together, the people to come together in a way to support it. And I think the other thing is that, you know, no matter what happens in rural Ireland, the surrounding parishes are very supportive. One parish is supportive of another if there is a need. And, you know, that's the case here now, you know, that I'm sure people are just trying to reach out to the people in Derrybeg and Gador to show solidarity. And it's ironic, really, this concert is going to be in Crawley. And going back to Mayarua used to say to me, my heart is broken. And I'd say, what's wrong with you? She says, the only thing, she says, that saddens me, she says, is that you're from the Rosses and not from Gador. And this concert's going to take place in the Rosses.
And what a concert is. We have a view, of course, Daniel. Moya Brennan of Clannad fame, her own fame as well, of course. And also, what another amazing, talented individual, Mairéadh Mooney. That's the three so far. It's in Crawley. It's at short notice. And I think, as you say, it's an opportunity to raise funds. It's about community. It's about coming together. And it's about helping to rebuild this beautiful building.
Yes, and I think, yes, it's great that, you know, we're very lucky, I suppose, that Moya Brennan and Mairéadh Mooney is there in the locality, and I'm a stone's throw away. So I'm sure they're just as delighted as me. Obviously, it's Moya's church. Moya's mother, you know, had the choir there and that church too. And I think they used to have the choir out in Dunluce as well. But, you know, I'm just pleased that I'm able to be home. I mean, I wasn't actually supposed to be home this weekend. And then I decided, I had a few days that I got free, and I said, I'll go up. And about an hour later, I got the call to say, are you at home at the weekend? I said, I am. And then from there on, the story was told to me. But listen, it's a tragedy, but all things can be worse. And as you say, they're going to rebuild. And I'm sure there are things now that a community needs that they didn't need in 1970 in relation to a church. So it's an opportunity maybe to rejig and maybe not build, just build a different set of things there that's needed for the community as well as the church. So I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, there's going to be more demand than there are tickets, Daniel. Has that part of the concert been sorted yet? Have you any information for listeners who, would want to?
I don't know. I think I'm not sure. I'm sure somebody will
leave it with me. I'll get it. Yeah, you leave that with me.
I think maybe at this stage people will just come.
Yes, that's the problem. You see, more people might come than can be accommodated.
It's like the Field of Dreams, build it. Well, the marquee is there. We're there and they will come. So I hope people will come. The other thing I would say is that it is to, you know, it's a bit like Relay for Life when I'm saying about people for Relay for Life. The importance of being somewhere is to show support for those who need it. It's not, I mean, obviously the money is important, but, you know, in this situation, the people of Gador are, you know, something's happened to all of them that are churchgoers, and even those that are not churchgoers. The church is a focal point of the community at times for everybody. Even the people that maybe don't go on a regular basis. But there are times when we go to the church because whatever takes us there, and it's important for us to be there at those times, even if we're not regular churchgoers. So I suppose what you're doing, especially for the people outside the parish of Derrybeg and the area, of course, they'll probably come out and support it. But outside it, you know, you're showing support for them at this time, you know, and that's important.
Okay, well, Daniel, it's great that you happen to be at home.
And, you know, Greg, and I'm sure...
Yes, go ahead, Daniel.
I know I'm going away now on a tangent.
No, go on.
But I'm sure you have mentioned the bed push from Carrigart to Creasla and on the 3rd of May for little Cassie Sheridan. I just was made aware of this, you know, that she has to go to Holland for life-saving medical treatment. And the staff of Scolwara and Creasla are doing a bed push on the 3rd. I know this is me talking about something else now.
It's fine.
But all these things are important, and this family are facing, it's again something that I know people will want to help with, because this family are facing an uphill journey that, please God, will be successful when she gets the treatment, but nevertheless they need people's support. So that's two things that I'm shouting about today, but
don't you worry about that at all. Okay, thanks so much for that, as always. Take care, Daniel. So on Saturday the 3rd of May at 11 a.m, Scomore Creasla fundraising committee, they're completing a bed push from Garracott to Creasla. They're raising funds for sixth class pupil Cassie, who, as you know, has been diagnosed with anaplastic large cell lymphoma. And the next stage for treatment involves travelling to the Princess Maxima Centre in Holland to undergo a bone marrow transplant with her older brother Michael as her donor. And they're looking for as much support as you can give online, of course, and already through an iDonate page raised 8,315 of a 10,000 euro target, by the way. You can donate to any Scomore Creasla staff member. There's donation tins around the area, or of course you can sponsor them on the day. And by sponsoring a place on the bed to advertise your business logo to appear in the bed, many thanks. And we guarantee we'll publish loads of pictures from that if they're sent on to us. So if you are a local business and you want to reach hundreds of thousands of people on our social media and website as well, get on and sponsor a spot there. Any Scomore Creasla staff member will help you, and that's been organised by the Scomore Creasla fundraising committee. So I just wanted to add to what Daniel had mentioned there already, because if I'm going to be honest, I hadn't been made aware of that. So I'm very happy that Daniel raised that and allowed me to mention it. And of course, they're coming off the back of already an amazing fundraising drive. It's just astonishing what I don't think there's a country in the world that does community support better, and I really don't think there's another county in the country, and I think actually iDonate confirmed this with figures, where people will come together and support each other. Let's return to Derrybeg, because last time I spoke to Mary Coyle, we were all just trying to come to terms with the news, and we still are, if the truth be told. But Mary was talking about a GoFundMe page which had been, or was in the process of being established. Mary, thanks so much for your time. You passed on the info to us, and it was spread all over the place too through various media outlets and social media. And the generosity from the public to help rebuild, not only rebuild the church, but I think, as Daniel said, rebuild maybe what the community needs in 2025. The generosity has been amazing so far.
Absolutely, Greg, and listening to Daniel there, you know, Daniel is a great supporter of Donegal, as is Maya and Marie there, and the kindness and listening to him there, you know, he has a big heart, and it's great that they're all coming together on Friday. But as you say there, there is nothing like Donegal people and the support and generosity for Chaffable Wirra here in Gaedhor, and for Father Brian and the other clergy is absolutely amazing. It is just second to none. And it is spread, at this stage it is spread all over the world, and it's important just to let the community know. It's not just the GoFundMe page. And I think when I checked earlier on, the GoFundMe page is up at 58,000 and climbing. But there are people dropping donations in here to the centre as well. And we're coordinating that little part of it with a committee that was established to look after that. And at this point, Greg, we have just below 85,000 euro.
Amazing. Amazing.
It is.
Yeah,
it
because
is.
I'll tell you what that does as well. It makes the dream and the hope a reality, doesn't it? It actually puts meat on the bone in terms of, you know, we talk of rebuilding and coming back, and it's going to happen because of people's generosity and the concert that's upcoming and everything else. It's really quite remarkable, Mary. And as you say, you know, obviously, Gwydor people have been very generous, but this generosity has come from the diaspora and people from all over the place.
It really is, and it's lovely, and it's not just the the donations. It's the concert in Crawley. It's another concert down the line a bit. And it's people, everybody wants to help. Everybody wants to give. Everybody wants to have the church rebuilt. And, you know, it's reality now that this can be done and this will be done. And it's all down to when we're in trouble ourselves or when things go wrong or in happy occasions. The priests come behind us and support us. And this is our chance now to support them and to make sure that this dream we have now will become a reality. And it will. It's to be seen now when I look at all this money pouring in and how people want to help. This will become a reality. And it's when a community comes together, great things happen.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, you're involved in the community coming together on a day-to-day basis as well, Mary, with the work that you do, and we touched basically on that. So this is the public face of it, but it's happening behind the scenes all of the time on different scales. Thank you so very much for giving us that update, Mary. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Greg. Thanks for your
bye-bye.
Time.
That's Mary Coyle there. OK, I'll be back with the weather and comments after these. Right, so Chuck Patio is hosting that concert. We don't have any details of tickets at the moment. It's in Crawley. All are welcome. So I think it's just a case of rolling up on the day. So there's going to be a great lineup, and it's all to raise money for the chapel in Gwydor, Derrybeg more specifically. Okay. Now, coming up after 12 o'clock, John Breslin's around the Northwest and he's in Derry today. He is coming live from Dreams and Sofa Time in the Crescent Link Shopping Centre Derry for the launch of their new store. Very exciting. Great to see new businesses being established as well, new locations. And we're going to hear about their golden ticket giveaway. We heard in an ad there it being flagged. You'll hear more on John's show. And you'll also hear more about their exclusive sleep match machine. So, and also the usual mix of entertainment and music that John Breslin always brings you. But this time it's coming live from the Crescent Link Shopping Centre in Derry. If you're from and in and around Derry, please say hello to the team, or if you're up shopping, in fact. That concert's on Saturday, by the way. Mary mentioned on Friday, just in passing, because that was sprung upon her a little bit. But just to be very clear, that concert is on Saturday. Moya Brennan, Daniel and guests. Okay. Greg, Letterkenny Hospital is badly broken and the problem is management, or I believe the lack of it and lack of common sense. Recent experiences of the ED and of the hospital... Hours in ED, once you got admitted, all was going okay. Then with the bank holiday, all the wards were cleared out, whether you were ready to be discharged or not. Fast forward Tuesday, a lot of those discharged Friday were back in the ED as they weren't well enough to have been discharged and again sat for hours. Some of those who were sick readmitted to wards with coronavirus. We know three wards were affected by that. Why would you not isolate those wards completely? I mean, that's one person's take on it. But we did hear from Rosina as well, and it is something that we do talk about on this show, that local management have a certain amount of power. They can say, this is what we need, this is what we need to do. It doesn't always deliver results as quickly as we would like locally. And we have to be conscious of that as well, because that's fair. Tourism is going to suffer massively in this county because of the traffic coming into Letterkenny, believes a listener. Why would you travel through that town if a 10-minute drive is taking 2 hours? We keep talking about it, but nothing is being done. I would hope that tourists don't know about it, if you know what I mean. And a lot of the time it is okay, just to be fair. Right, that's where we have to leave it on the show today. I'll just say a happy birthday to a very special wee lady who's 98 today. That person is the very important Rita Bradley. She's in Ballynafad, Trenta. And the requests coming into all of us here at Highland Radio and two very special friends, Anne and Frankie. We're back tomorrow morning with the Friday panel and much more. Please come back for that. But in fact, don't go anywhere.